This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I made the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Hey, it's Big J Okerson
and Dan Soder. Welcome to the Bonfire Podcast. We'll have new episodes every morning, Tuesday through Friday. If you want more Bonfire? You can hear our full show every day on SiriusXM. You can go to SiriusXM.com/Bonfire for a special 3-month offer.
The Bonfire.
It's a rainy day in New York City. We're up in Jay's Cloud Palace. Cloud Palace.
Cheat day for Dan.
God, I am thinking right now, do I just go full slut and order McDonald's tonight for dinner or a delicious meal from a nice place in Queens?
Cheat meal? Probably go McDonald's.
I got to wake up super early for Billions. I got to wake up at like... You say McDonald's?
Did you say no McDonald's if you have to wake up?
Because that's going to hurt my stomach.
Yeah, for sure.
I need something high quality in my tum-tum.
It has. I've made the mistake of what it's hard to do, but pizza's not always, but it depends on
what if I,
Taco Bell I've done before I've left and any other fast food the night before I leave. Like if I have to go to the airport at 5 a.m, like
it's always better.
I set an alarm now because I give myself a half hour. I set an alarm for four, give myself a half hour before I have to leave. To wake up because I'm like, go shit, because like if not, I'm going to be dancing at the airport.
Oh, man. I don't want to be dancing on set.
You don't want to be dancing on set. You don't want to go. You don't want to take a fast food just bash. What did Nick Cannon call this thing? Boo-boo? You don't want to go take a boo-boo at work.
Oh, my God, dude. You guys would just see me. I'd point out I'd be like, so see in the back of the office where I'm sitting? At that moment, I have swamp butt, and I know that I was going to shit my pants.
I'd take a boo-boo.
A
sugar turner would tell you.
Oh, my God. So terrible. Before I forget, and before my mind moves on, how bad would it be if I ordered McDonald's to here for the end of the episode?
Right.
And then went home, went grocery shopping, then got dinner later.
You're trying to... Can I tell you why you're not going to like that? You're cramming in. And this is a good conversation, actually. Me and Christine used to do this, and we learned better. It feels way worse. Because when you first got here, like, damn, it sucks. I was doing this cheat weekend for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said Terminator Timelines, it's Sunday. Yeah. And you're like, so Saturday and Sunday I'm going for it. And you said, oh, yesterday all I had was this, and pizza. You know, you get
shout out Promised Land chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk, dick off waffles, and pizza.
And that Wendy's...
Breakfast stuff. Right. So I was like, all right, that's actually like a pretty like, that's a good cheat day. You got it in. And today you were like, I really haven't had anything today and all I'm going to do is get something tonight. But me and Christine used to really do it like cheat day like that. Like we would get it. We just make sure, it's like you make sure you get like bagels in the morning. Like even if you didn't really want bagels that much.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like you just try to cram it all in. So that's what we just try to now. It's like.
It's total addict
behavior. We rarely eat bagels. But if like, you know, we'll have a half of bagel with breakfast if it's the thing. Gluten-free bagel. You know what I mean? It's like just making better decisions on that. Because, man, I tell you what, I did not like it. And by the time it got to dinner time, you felt like obligated to get this thing that you're going to get. You know what I mean?
You know what it reminds me of is...
I'd like to get cheesesteaks tonight, but I don't know if Christine's all down with that.
But you know what it reminds me of is back when... And anyone that's had a service industry job, for sure. But other people... You know when you'd be at work and you'd go to meet up with your friends who have been out drinking? Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, I got to catch up. Those were always the nights that I got sick. because I would show up and be like, well, I got to catch up. So I got to do more. And then I'd do more and end up just hurting myself as opposed to if I just showed up and started drinking regularly.
I was lying to you when I just said that. I don't know why. I guess I'm saying I knew more the situation you're
talking
about.
Yeah, you know the situation. You don't drink like you drink where you do the exact, you know the exact recipe you're going to put in your body, which is very impressive. You're like, I'm going to do four shots, drink this Bud Light, and I'll get silly drunk. And I'm like, let's go until all the lights shut off.
Now I do three shots. If I drink, this weekend I had drinks, but I had just like three. I'll do like three shots before the first show.
Three shots before the first, before the early show.
For the first show. And then in between shows, I'll do a shot.
Okay.
Diet Coke, usually. I don't even really have a beer. I've been doing much more water on stage. And, yeah, and then I come the next night. And honest to God, like, even the second night this weekend, when they said, like, you want your shots? And I was like, yeah, I guess. Then. You know, they were like, I didn't even do the fourth one.
Dude, I used to be to the point before comedy where I'd be like, I need my drink before I go up.
I am like that with weed, for sure.
I need.
Nervously, I hate to say that I am like that with weed.
You need to smoke weed?
I don't need it, but if I don't here's the thing. If I don't have it in 10 minutes, I'll zone into what's happening, and I'm not that worried about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the panic in my heart, yes. Well,
I used to have
sex. The wrong word. It wasn't that big a deal to me, but like I left the without my weed for the shows on Friday night in Kansas City.
So when you came out there,
I came in there, and very quickly, the host was like, or the feature was like, he's like, oh, I have some, like, here. And he gave me like a little container of joints, and I was like, oh, shit, yeah. And that was great. But I wouldn't have gone back for it, but I would have asked the manager, like, hey, is any staff member here have, like, something I can just grab? Just get some. And it's just because I want to, like,
when you
change
have
perspective on the day.
Sure. And it's also, it's a comfort. It's like, you know, if you have weed and you're like, all right, I'm going to smoke a little weed, I can relax, I can have fun, as opposed to going into it and being like, I need this. Smoking weed with you, you can smoke and go on stage. Like, you can smoke and then walk on stage and do it. And I remember I had it such an exact science back when I drank that when I first got past at the cellar, and I think I've told the story before on the show, but I got past at the cellar, and we were down in the stairwell, and you had a joint. And it was like, you know, you and Christine were hanging out. And I did an earlier spot, went and drank at Triona's, and came back. So I was like half in the bag. And I fucking smoked a joint with you. And then William Stevenson was like, all right, I'll bring you up. And he like came out and got me. And I went on stage, and Bill Maher, when I was on stage, this girl was like, I was new to the club, so I was doing the same set.
I remember the night Bill Maher came to the cellar.
Yeah, I was doing the same set every night. Because I was just trying to kill. And, I was new to it, so I was like, I got to fucking kill. And I was on stage, and this girl gets up, and she's like, I saw him last week. He's doing the same jokes to her table. And I was like, yeah, well, like, you know. What? And as I'm talking to her, I'm like, because I made the point of like, yeah, when you go see a band, what do you think, they're just fucking jamming on stage? That old, you know.
You'd be like, why don't you get your shit together and do something else?
But I was like, go smoke. She's like, I'm going to go smoke. Keep doing your thing. She did that thing. Like, keep doing your. And I was like, lady, you're terrible. As I'm saying this, Esty and Bill Maher walk in the, just right downstairs. And I'm like, son of a bitch.
Oh, this guy must be doing the same comedy again.
And all of a sudden in my head, I'm like, well, now I have to kill because Esty and Bill Maher are here. But I can't be doing my shit, all my A stuff that I've been just doing in a set here. So I started doing like old jokes that I didn't really fully remember.
Oh, Lord.
Hello. And I just keep, and I was like close to, it just didn't go well. And then I went out and I was high. So I was getting high. I was on the way up as this is all happening. And I'm like, oh no.
Bilma, Esty.
Oh no. Old joke, but can't. Oh.
Same. Don't write enough.
And then I came back outside, and you two were standing there, and I was like, I just fucking bombed in front of Bill Maher. And you're like, you probably didn't bomb. And then Bill Maher walked out, and he was like, hi. And
we're like, oh, you were up there.
Oh, my
God.
Okay.
You were up there.
God damn it, dude. That lady sucked. She fucking rattled me. Man. That was like 10 years ago. That
heard
bitch,
it.
That lady genuinely.
If I know that now, you would know how to like dismantle that.
Oh my God, now it'd make it all about her. I'd be like, what kind of human
being? You were like a 7-year comic, maybe?
Yeah. That's exactly what I was. I had seven years. 2011. Yeah, I was a seven-year comic.
Now you're almost a 20-year comic.
That's crazy. Yeah, but it fucking it rattled me. If you remember all the times you get rattled in comedy, you get ear-holed by someone. That Canadian guy just going, "You're not funny, bud. What, do you want to fight?"
And I'm like, I said,
"Fuck you. Fuck you. I'll kill you."
This weekend, again, I found out like the true meaning of like
Christmas.
Of what, like, I found what my, like, don't call me chicken needles. Nobody calls me chicken. Like,
yeah.
I found out what that is with me, and I'm telling you, and you know it.
Yeah.
It's somebody
in
the audience instructing you to do anything and generally move on.
Dude.
And this dude in the back, young, I could hear the wigger all over his voice.
Oh, just all that.
And whatever it was I was saying, it was like something that was like, just like over the top.
You talk about Armageddon, do you notice that pisses off? Like, because you do. Can you see her? You know that lady?
Yeah.
It's such a description of a 90s, like, wigger lady.
Oh, yeah.
That I'm wondering if that gets other wiggers in the crowd mad, like a dog whistle, where they're
probably
like, "Fuck you, dude. Fuck you, dog. Fuck you, dog."
Very possible.
Y'all grew up around black people. That's why I talk like this, dog.
Yeah, yeah. And
I don't care that my real name is Thurman and I go by T or whatever, dog.
T Money,
dog. Yes, old white name.
This guy in the back of the room just did something. He goes, he was like, "Move on."
Ugh.
And I was like, "What?" And he didn't say anything. I go, no, you say what you said, dude. You say it. It's fine. I go, "I just didn't hear you." He goes, "Wait." He goes, "I was saying move on." I was like, "Move on to what?" I go, that's been a whole breakdown thing. I go, "Well, from what I'm saying," I go, "No." I go, then I did everything. I was like, "I am going to move on, but my next joke is about the artist who makes baby fuck doll robots for pedophiles so they don't act on their impulses."
So are you ready to go?
Yeah. And the crowd like laughed at that. And I was like,
give him a little PTI countdown.
Is it cool if I go with that? And then I was just quiet for a minute. I go, as we said, the artist, I go, "Man, it really is my don't call me chicken needles thing. I can't get back." I go, "Listen, it was the setup to a joke I was getting ready to do, but I can't do the joke now because he's telling me to move on." I go, "All I want to do is stay on it." And like, I just started going with him and I go, "Well, look, if you want me to move on, dude," I go, "tell me who you're here with." And I was like, he's like, "Friends." I was like, "Guys and girls." He's like, "Uh-huh." And I go, "One of the girls, any of your girlfriend?" And I go, "No." I go, "But you want to fuck one of them." And he was like, "Ding, ding," like some dumb, like, cocky thing like that. And I was like, "Oh," and she was making a face when I was saying the thing. "So you felt you had, like, white knight her and do the thing." I go, "That's totally cool, dude." And I was like, "But what is it, you want to talk?" And he just, like, again, like, I said something about it, made the crowd laugh again.
Yeah.
I go, "You're trying to get pussy, dude." I go, "I'll give you one." "Don't ever open your mouth like that to me again." I go, "I'll give you some." I go, "Oh, I'll move on, dude. Phew, you better fuck this guy," because he's so, you know, I was giving a little, like, sort of kudos. "Down, dog."
"Damn it, dog. No, you are so cute, though."
"You can't have salami.
Salami's not for dogs."
And he goes, he just started, I was mixing up with him a little bit, and then I just go, because I was like, "Well, go ahead, dude." I go, "What are you going to say?" And he just started making noises, and I was like, "Dude, if you're going to talk with me, I'll talk with you."
Did he give you the Chet Hanks?
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like legitimately like that. And I'd go, he would say something while everyone was like laughing out loud, and then I go, "What'd you say?" And he go, "Huh?" Like, he would just say the word "huh" back, and you're like, "Ooh, it's driving me nuts." But I was like, let's mix up with words. But he was, I gave him kudos, man. He was really smart. Like, he just handled it very well.
Yeah.
Because he goes, I was like, "What's?" I started just going with him. I go, "Now go, what do you say?" And then he didn't say anything again. And I was like, "Dude, come on. Like, don't play puss and just say this stuff when you can't hear. What did you say?" And he was like, "I'm done." He just goes, "I'm done." And I was like, "All right,
I don't want to do this.
That's fair.
I don't want to do this game anymore."
Yeah, he's like, "I think I'm already in over my head." It seemed like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that, but whatever it was, he was like, "I'm done.
I don't want to play this anymore."
Yeah, like, "I don't want to do it."
And he's like, "Yo, did you see when I was all talking?" And then the guy, "Please stop."
Yeah.
"Please stop. I don't like this anymore."
Respectfully,
man, it always blows my mind. Listen, I understand people know me. Some people legitimately just know me from doing a Macho Man impression. But to yell it out at a live show, like, I'm going to be like, "Excellent point. Yes, let's do Macho Man right now." And there's been people that are like, "Do Macho Man." And I'm like, Go fuck yourself.
I told you that was last week. I said on the show tonight when the guy was like, when the guy was like, I was talking to a girl, and the guy goes, "Hey, miss, tell him, talk about Corey Feldman."
Oh my God, yeah.
You know, I told you that. I was like, what?
Well, man, it all goes back to that guy in Seattle that heckled. It was like we had been a show for a year, and he had just heckled me with Bonfire stuff to the point where I was like, hey, what do you expect? Jay's not here. We can't do the show.
Yeah, do this thing.
And he's like, all right, Jacob.
Bonfire for me.
But then you understand when people are so drunk that they're just like, I listen to you a lot, and you're just in the room with me. And I completely get that. I completely get that.
Dude,
it's weird to be like, do the thing that I like.
Dude, when they get amped up, it's fine. I ended up taking a picture with this lady because her husband's like a big, big fan.
Mm-hmm.
They sat right up front. I talked to him a bunch, but I didn't realize how hammered she was. When I went backstage after the show, she just came barreling into the green room.
Great.
I mean, barreling. She goes, my husband's pair. I go, miss, I don't think you're allowed back here. And then the manager's like, miss, you got to get out of here. She goes, no, I know. But like, he's a big fan. He wants a picture. I go, miss, I'll go outside in a little bit. But I go, you have to get out of here. Seriously. She goes, I don't understand. What the thing? I just like, he's a big fan. And then she was like, sweet. When I got outside, she was sweet. But I was like, that was just a bombastic move. It was actually a weird week. I was going to talk about this on tomorrow's first live show, but
well, talk about it. You want?
Yeah, I'll save some of it.
Bring it up.
There was some funny audience stuff with this.
Yeah, because we're talking about how great those gifts were that we got. We talked about that on
Monday.
Yeah,
we got a couple things from Kansas City to bring up.
What's great is you can't spoil it if you talk about it on Monday, but you have to talk about it on Monday because then you can be like, remember when I talked about?
Yeah, no, we will. We'll get to it because there's a wild thing that happened this weekend with the audience outside.
Are you noticing people? Last time I was on the road was in Columbus at the Funny Bone last month, and I'm going to be back on the road in May. Have you noticed people getting more excited because you've been consistently going out? And like the past couple weeks now that the vaccines are becoming more and more common?
Oh, are people getting excited at the shows?
Yeah, like people...
I think it's been good. The whole like quarantine, the people that are coming out are like so excited to be out.
But now what you're getting is people that maybe were on the line that aren't dedicated comedy fans just kind of want to go out.
Well, you're almost actually seeing a little more with that maybe explains like trepidation in them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They are a little more worried. And this, but it was a the crowd this weekend was good. That club's it's a nice club, man. Kansas City Improv.
Yeah.
They a nice menagerie of comics. I see Tony Roberts was coming there, and then the Guys We Fuck Girls are going. I don't know, a fucking wild story I'll tell you off air about Faison Love there.
I can't wait to hear that story. That's also one of the most fun parts of comedy is because it's basically like a workspace that you use.
Mm-hmm.
So every weekend it's like there's a different boss. And so when you show up and you're just like decent to the staff and they're like, thank you. And you're always like, it's not a big deal. You guys are overdoing it. And then you're like, oh, no, no, no. Because there's some weekends where you're like, I'm in the living hell.
One club
told me that Carlos Mencia did 90 minutes on a Wednesday. And it's like a Wednesday show. So they think it's like, the headliner will do 50. All said and done. It's an 8 o'clock show. They're like telling their friends, like, I'll be out of there 9:30, 10 at the latest. He does 90 and they're like, you got off stage at 10:15. You'd be like, what the fuck?
I hate it so much. Yeah, but it is. You get to go be a champion at comedy clubs if you're even a kind of decent human being. It's the same theory I say about this building that I live in now where I'm like downstairs. Like, they love us because we just are cool to them.
Any more noise complaints?
No. But that's not the front desk, though. Do you know
that baby moved out?
Yeah,
baby. Baby got a new place?
Out. Fuck off, baby.
It was like,
I'm not sure what happened, but no, we haven't gotten another one yet. Maybe we're paying more time, I don't know. But whatever it is, being nice here, same thing with the staff. Like, how many comics come in and are shitty to the staff, I guess, and just weird to them that when you're just like, I always say on stage, like, make sure you take care of your wait staff. Like, you know, they're working hard for you. And they're just like, thank you so much.
I really think it's like getting someone that's been human trafficked and then just having a regular relationship with them.
No, I love you and I want to be with you.
Yeah, they go, okay, but when I'm asleep, you're not going to put cigarettes out on me, right?
He goes, but I have to have sex with all your friends or you'll send me to the bad place?
He goes, not at all.
No, I want to take care of you and I want to be happy.
I was giving you my phone to see what you wanted to order off Seamless. But... now do I go in your basement and have your children and live there chained up?
If I don't choose what you choose, are you going to hit me?
No. it's your choice. But comedy clubs every weekend, seeing them, and you're like, hi. And then when you leave, they're like, hey, come back. Or when you sign off on someone, you're like, oh, Nate's coming? You guys are going to fucking love Nate.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we will? Okay. Oh, thank God.
Oh, man. Me and Christine have had so many fights, especially on cheat days, about what to fucking eat. So you're happy you're going back to Queens tonight. Yeah. So you just kind of make your own decisions. I'll tell you what, McDonald's, you want this weekend, again, great story of McDonald's.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to eat both nights like improv food. Cause it's just like, I was just like burger and salad or whatever. So like, I'm just like, yeah, let me get something else. I was like, there's got to be something open afterwards. They go, yeah, like there's fast food stuff should be open. And I was like, all right, there's an Arby's. Maybe that'll be open. Worst case scenario, I'm thinking Wendy's. Then at one point, she even said Burger King might be open. I was like, all these are viable things that I can just get like a small order at. It's cheating a little bit, but it's, you know,
a two cheeseburger meal.
Buddy. So I go, I get there. This is so fucking funny. It's a long, long line because what happens is nothing's open except McDonald's.
Yeah.
So sorry, long story short, that. But
no.
Nothing's open
but McDonald's. When that happens, and that's when McDonald's becomes like a fucking Michelin star restaurant where everyone's there, and it's like it's hard to get a table.
It was a crazy line. So we get to the ordering part, and I was like, let's do it. I go, let me get two cheeseburger meal, large, and then I was like. I didn't eat that day. So I was like, oh, I'm going to get a McChicken because I wanted to, like, take that off the bun and, like, eat mayonnaise-y chicken. And I was like, you're weighing out, like, why it's not going to be that bad for you. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know it's a lot, but the calories-wise, it's actually not crazy what's going on here so far. And then I'm doing the math. I'm doing the calorie math, Dan.
Yeah.
And I go,
you know what? Back when Trish was a teacher at Weight Watchers, she'd be very proud of you.
Do you know what's not a wacky amount of calories? Well, as I'm looking at the menu, I've already ordered my two cheeseburger meal.
Great.
Large.
Number two.
McChicken sandwich.
Great.
It's like a buck or something.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at the menu. I go, are you kidding? It's only 300 calories for a hot fudge sundae? And under that significantly for an apple pie.
I don't trust that math.
I go, tell them I'm going to get a hot fudge sundae. And she orders it for me, and then I go, throw one of them apple pies while you're at it.
Oh, why not, dude? Double dunk.
Double cheeseburger. Two cheeseburgers, large fries.
McChicken.
Large Diet Coke.
Great.
McChicken.
Man, I'm about to get McDonald's tonight.
Hot fudge sundae.
Apple pie. It sounds like you're giving code orders where you're like, apple pie, hot fudge sundae. And you're like, A-H. Got it. We're launching. 119. Cubano. Delta. Zeta.
Victor. So I get it. The bag's big. I go, can you throw in four hot mustards, four barbecues? Guy goes, absolutely. Throws them, puts them in the bag. When I open the bag for him to put that stuff in, I see the large fry on top of the bag. I grab two little fries, and I go offer Amanda, the manager, some fries. She's like, no, I'm okay. And we go, and we pull off. She goes, wait, did they give you your drink? I went, oh, no. And I go, you know what? It's fine. They have sodas at the hotel.
Yeah, there's a soda machine.
And I was like,
a lot of hotels got rid of their soda machines because of COVID.
Yeah, this was just, they were at the front desk, like,
sure,
sodas for
sale.
But
I'm saying, isn't that crazy?
And they even have Diet Dr. Pepper, so it would have been better anyway.
Come on.
So
I hate diet soda. I can drink diet Dr. Pepper.
It's great. So I go, I didn't even get a diet Dr. Pepper. Because I go up and I go, you know, maybe I said I got so much shitty food. I just drink my water.
Great.
It's wasted.
Yeah.
Sugar or anything. I go upstairs. I get my clothes. And then did I talk to you before, Christine, or after? It was after, right? Mm-hmm. It was after. So I go, you know what? And it was a Friday night. So I go, I just found out that I could watch the Sixers game in full.
Great.
On NBA League Pass after the game.
Got your jammies on?
Yeah.
Got yourself a nice little meal?
Yes.
Better on the road.
I put on my jammies.
Then you're home.
I lay on my tum-tum with that giant bag of food, like resting by the headboard. I'm trying to paint a picture for you. I'm laying on my tummy diagonal.
Love it.
Looking at my thing. Smoke just a wonderful joint.
From the guy you worked with in Kansas City, yeah. A lovely human.
Yes, that one of those joints for sure.
We just smoked one.
Crushed it, I was like,
fantastic.
Oh, I go, you know what? I just smoked all my guilt away. I may even eat the bread on this fucking McChicken.
Oh.
That's where I'm at in my mind at this point. And I opened the bag, and it was just the wrong order. It was three orders of French fries, large, with 700 napkins that weren't, like, folded up. They were, like, all, like, smushed in here, like packing paper.
They smushed it?
Like packing paper.
Yeah, they gave it away where, like, you felt the weight of the bag, and you're like, oh, this is everything.
It was just, it was not everything. Man. They just gave me the wrong order. That's why they didn't give me a drink either. And I was just,
what
in was
a hell?
Mistake. Dude, when, and I laughed it off. I was like, I even texted the manager and she was like, oh my God, you want me to come back and like take you back for? I go, no, I deserve that for getting fucking McDonald's on a Saturday or on a Friday.
Man.
I was like, I deserve everything I got there. And I started laughing it off. I was like, well, tonight I just had, I ate a large fries for dinner.
Oh man.
But with hot mustard sauce. So I'll be honest with you. I didn't hate it.
It's still tasty. Listen, you're
I may have also had a fries and a half. I mean, I didn't eat anything that day at all. That was my entire food consumption.
You're talking to the condiment king. So if I don't know hot
that?
Mustard can raise a French fry from just a regular thing to a whole meal?
From Bush League to like, you know what? Tonight's not a total loss.
I can get you there with hot mustard. You need me to eat French fries as a meal? I can get you there. Yeah, there's not a bigger bummer than the wrong order delivery, and you're like, oh, man.
Christine understood it so much, too, because she's like, when you just do that, when you just drop the guard completely, and you even know, you're like, in 2 hours, I'm going to be angry at myself. But you go, it's like, I'll tell you what, though, man, I'm just going to enjoy it. Let's just go for it. I'll exercise tomorrow. Tomorrow, I know what I'm eating already for dinner tomorrow is going to be like plain Jane.
Man,
food clubs. So I'm like,
but that let
you prep
down.
Yourself, and then I honestly,
you know, I got through to myself
so
saying that tonight we might get cheesesteaks. I was like, maybe Sunday I'll get cheesesteaks
and so. With McDonald's fries and chicken nuggets.
Pig, maybe, but yeah, maybe.
You guys are gonna make me make some naughty decisions.
They well, you can't, but Danny, sauce in the me, bag. My whole night's ruined. Let alone
true.
A wrong
Norse
order.
Or a straw for a fountain soda.
I have to check an order before. I'm like, just don't drive away. Make the person behind us wait while I check this fucking order. Yeah.
I said, me and Amanda, she's the manager of the club. Both said, like, man, we're both bag checkers. Yeah. I was like, I'm usually better at that. I don't know. I saw that fries on top, and I was like,
man,
I felt how big the bag was. I'm like, it's. They probably gave me too
there
much.
There are times at Taco Bell McDonald's, though, where we decide not to check the bag because we're like, if we're missing something, thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're so ashamed.
You're so ashamed. I mean, you're like, I hope they
like
forgot
$80
two things.
At Taco Bell. It's kind of nuts.
But having the wrong order does hurt. It always stings because you're like, oh,
it does.
I don't
but
care
like I said,
about
that
this.
One did make me. It
three fries?
When it was all over. Three orders of fries.
Because almost, I feel like McDonald's, you can get so nasty with it that even if they would have given you a big and tasty or a fish filet, you would have enjoyed it.
Something. I would have been like, oh, I got somebody else's order. Well, here's the thing. It would have really been nice.
I'm getting McDonald's.
Instead of these three orders of fries, maybe it was like three orders of fries that had like each had a sandwich that you could choose maybe from that, even if it wasn't, again, what I wanted.
Yeah.
A Big Mac, maybe, like you said, or just whatever. And it was just... Nah, it was just fucking three orders of fries.
Should we get Big Macs tonight? Should we do McDonald's as a family?
Sure. But I was going to say, that's what you should think about, Dan, sometimes, too. Like, me and Christine have really just given up on a couple of shames in our lives. And one of them is having two different places bring two
Dude,
different things
a food
like.
Fuck party? I'll totally do a food fuck party. Food, what I'm thinking years. Is, here's my little naughty thing, is I want to order some fucking chicken nuggets and... a chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A, then have fries, McDonald's fries, and a Big Mac from McDonald's with a fountain Sprite from McDonald's, and then just really hate myself about 30
Dan,
minutes later.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, for that 30 minutes when you're eating it all, though, you're like, oh, it's the best. When you're, when you're reaching over piles of food to get this stuff, to get your... Why did I put my fries so far over here? I goes, why did I lie and say if I put the fries far away, I wasn't going to finish them? Get over here, you waffle fry bitch.
You better put some diapers on me because I'm about to leak cum. I'll just fucking...
I totally forgot that we found out that there's a Chick-fil-A that delivers here.
But it's Sunday.
It is the Lord's Day.
You got to pull that move on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're here, not on a Sunday, we're doing it.
When we want to eat chicken and say fuck gays.
Me and B-Rod got chicken, got Chick-fil-A, and then just parked down by the Brooklyn Bridge and just fucking ate it in the car, and it was a great night.
What a couple of detectives.
So if you want to watch me almost, that I ate so much Chick-fil-A so fast that I almost threw up during an entire podcast, was Ron Funch's podcast when I was in L.A. promoting the HBO special. Mm-hmm. They had me none of the LA comics would like book me through my, you hire someone to be like, hey, I got to do all these interviews or whatever. And just besides people I knew personally closely, they weren't booking me. And then Ari's like, that's ridiculous. So Ari got me on Bert's podcast, on Santino's podcast, on Joey Diaz's.
Ari's the undercover, a comedy manager.
Really hooked it up. And all the guys in LA outside of Rogan had me on the thing, but the people I knew I had already booked, like with Ron Funches, doing Kelsey Cook's foosball thing. These are people that I had talked to about doing it. So I did all these days. I did Ryan Sickler's Honeydew and then Bert, or Fighter and the Kid, and then Bert. I did like four podcasts in a row. And I'm like, man, I'm fucking hungry. And I was like, to the Uber driver, I'm like, hey, you want to go to Chick-fil-A? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, dude, get whatever you want. I'm going to get it. So I got two chicken sandwiches and a big sweet tea. And I was like, this will be fine. And I was eating them in the car. And I ate it so fast that Ron, when we got to his house, was like, do you want to hang out? And I was like, and you just watch
me. Do you ever do this with my pants unbuttoned?
Yeah. He goes, and then you see me halfway through pull out of it. And it's just such a better podcast. And I'm like, all right, I'm not going to throw up. But that first time, because I ate it so fast.
Do you eat it fast? I feel like because you don't want to get full before you can fucking devour.
Well, no, what it was, it was hot. And I was like, man, this chicken sandwich is good. And I ate it. And you know what it's like being an addict? You eat one and you're like, well, that one was so good. The second one will be better.
I'm so happy I had another one.
And I ate it so fast. And I was like, getting out of the car, I was like, oh.
Hey, guys, real quick, let's talk about one of our awesome sponsors over here at the Bonfire. And, of course, that is Metro by T-Mobile. Listen, we all know life is full of yada, yada. Calling customer service and trying to sign up for a new program or plan or any kind of subscription, and you get a whole bunch of nonsense and long paperwork and contracts you can't get out of, pricier subscription prices going up. I know you've dealt with the yada yada before, like when companies have those sneaky gotchas hidden deep in the fine print or bills that seem to keep going up for no dang reason. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have elsewhere and your seat probably reclines. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included. But listen, you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and no yada yada. Nada. Yada yada. Stop at one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide right now. Guys, real quick, let's talk about one of our awesome sponsors over here at the Bonfire. And of course, that is Prize Picks, everybody. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. You can win 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. It's very simple. You're picking more or less than the projected stats on 2 to 6 players. If you pick right, you win. That's it. For example, Tyrese Maxey. Maybe it says he'll score 13 points tonight. If you pick more and he scores more, you win. You pick less, he scores less, you win. It's that easy. You against the numbers only. You could turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use code BONFIRE for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code BONFIRE for a first deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I need the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
One of five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off that list with Babbel.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Who's A?
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Bueno note, buenos aires.
Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is just better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Non palietano molto bene.
Babbel has over 10 million subscriptions sold, and all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Hello. Hey, you know how you say no?
Go on.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to write that down.
I am learning Italian off of Babbel right now.
Hola.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, you get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/bonfire. Get 55% off at babbel.com/bonfire, spelled babbel.com/bonfire. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I love that you've observed. Before the thing, I was describing this this weekend to somebody, that the fucking unspoken war that begins when we start eating, me and Christine, if we're eating the same thing.
Sure.
The war of like staring at each other's thing, because if you don't want to finish first, because then you're just upset that you don't have any more.
Oh, my God.
And you're watching somebody else still enjoy it. And it's like a weird, no one talks about it. But I mean, like,
I do it with Katie all the time. It's like, I will out-eat her. I will finish mine. And then we'll have something we're splitting. And she won't have dug into her portion of it. And my 50% is a gone.
Dude.
And I'll be like, are you done eating that? And she'll hit me with such honesty where she's like, I haven't even ate any of it yet. So why would I be done with it? And I'm like, she goes, do you want another piece of it? And you're like, God damn it, you're going to make me ask for this. Yes!
So much.
Why are you making me be direct?
What I want.
Dude, it's like so, dude, me and Christine, when we get pizza, it's like Old West sizing up. When one person's like, if one person finishes their slice of pizza first, even if they want another slice immediately, well, I'll do a full-blown, and Christine, too, slide the plate away, do a full sit back on the couch, almost like I'm not going to have a second piece.
You're going to chicken?
And then we wait, and then Christine will break down eventually and be like, do you want a second piece? I'm like, yeah, if you're grabbing a second piece, I'll take a piece, I guess.
Bobby, one time I was on the road with him, Bobby was like, we were eating a pizza, and I finished my piece, but I didn't finish the crust, so I just went and grabbed another one. He goes, dude, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm getting another piece of pizza. He goes, that's not the rules. Got to finish your crust before you move on. And I'm like, I don't want to finish my crust. He's like, that's how we eat pizza, dude. When we get a Joe's from fucking Colin and I agree. You finish the slice, you got to eat your crust. And I'm like,
this isn't Colin's weird thing.
Gay old rule. And I'm going to have another piece of pizza. And then he shut it down. He's like, no, dude, you fucking finish your pizza. And I was like,
maybe it's fat kinship, but I got to say to you, what's up with not finishing your crust?
I don't know. I don't want to finish the crust. I want the fucking.
Do you not eat crust?
I do if I have ranch. If I don't have ranch,
you know, I take cheese off. I'm such a fucking fat ass. I take cheese off like the tip of the pizza and then
put it on the crust.
Yeah. And then I like tear that into weird two portions and then put that crust, put back on the crust.
I see what you're doing.
Dude, here's what I do. Dude, I do the funniest thing with pizza now, because I was always like a four slice at least, sure, maybe five slices if I was getting naughty.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like a large pizza for two people at a point was like, this is gonna fucking suck because I'm not gonna get to eat what I want to eat.
Yeah, so it's which is not the case now, thank God.
Yeah,
but what I will do going forward, because what I feel is now that I go, I have ownership over four slices. If
sure,
Christine split a pizza.
That's your equity in the pizza.
I have ownership. I could do with those four slices what I wish.
Absolutely.
And what I've told myself,
you can bequeath them to your daughter.
Absolutely.
Or a dog that might be in a diaper.
But I go, there's an alarm going off. So it's microwave timer or something.
Oh, it's a special time. Time to give away Bonfire.
Oh, what's that? Our 15th caller.
Oh, we're giving away Bonfire memorabilia from the hoodie that Jacob wore over his other sweatshirt because we kept it too cold in the studio.
I just want it warmer in the fucking studio.
Oh, what the hell was I just going to say?
I'll just be cold, okay?
This dog is very sweet, and I'm so sorry that it has to wear a diaper.
Yeah, it's so stupid it can't learn how to piss and shit. It just happens.
How old is this dog?
Like a retarded one.
You a puppy? You a puppy?
Dumb as shit. You got a diaper for dogs? That's insane that it's even a thing. There's a dog where dogs sit.
Yeah, why are you recording this? You're going to give me trouble with my girl. If my dog sees this, I'm in fucking...
But we're dog sitting for our friend Michelle right now, and one of the dogs, what is it, a Pomapoo?
It's a Pomapoo.
And it wears a diaper.
Yeah, it wears a diaper.
With a hole for the tail.
Which is, by the way, adorable.
It is adorable. I mean, have you had to change a shit diaper yet on a dog?
Shit oddly like comes right out of the diaper.
What?
The shit falls out of the diaper?
Yeah, I don't know how it works.
So this dog's just shit like a...
There's
like
an asshole, but not a fucking...
Like a Pepsi machine that just leaks out turds?
Is it a boy or a girl?
I don't know. Oh, Gracie, that's a girl. That Gracie's the girl and Humphrey's the boy.
Well, this girl fucking... Could you imagine that? If you're checking the word... It's like an old lady.
Yeah, and they just got her. She's a puppy, but she just gets really excited and then she pisses. So.
Yeah, that's what Myrtle does. Yeah. Myrtle piss pops all the time. Dude,
so
Myrtle.
Instead of training her, they just put a diaper on her.
Dude, that's so funny. They're just like, yeah, we're just going to.
I'm not going to worry about all that. Dude, be nervous, you idiot.
I was high.
And then walk around in your own piss fur all day.
Wrong. Wrong.
I swear to God, 2 days ago, I got home from doing spots and I was telling Katie a story about something that happened. And I was very animated about it. And she got up off the couch and started walking around. And Myrtle was sitting next to me. She was like, where's the dog? I was like, she's sitting right next to me. I take a step. I'm like, why is my sock wet? Dude, Myrtle pissed a Tom Hanks in A League of Their Own amount of piss.
Really?
All around it. Just because she hadn't been out. And she was like, hey, I'm trying to tell you guys I got to go out. You know what? This guy's telling a story. And just started
pissing. Like, and I didn't hear piss.
It. Dude, hangover piss for sure. I'm surprised she didn't do the shake.
That's better.
But I stepped in it and I was like, oh, man. You were fucking... I would do that.
This dog's a dumb
fuck. Just take a piss if someone's distracted. But
this one
I wouldn't
here,
need a diaper.
He just lays down and dies, it looks like. It just completely sells out. Look at this little one.
Man.
These are little dogs, though. You're a big dog guy.
I love big dogs. When I lived in Arizona, my friend had his girlfriend move in with us from San Diego, and she had two teacup chihuahuas. And I was like, dude, I'm not cool with that because I don't want to have to take care of these dogs. They were like 2 pounds each. And I was like, I don't want that. I hate tiny dogs like that. Finally, they were like, Soder, we know you hate the dogs, but can you please take them out? Because I got off work at Bed Bath & Beyond, and then I was going to the comedy club. And I was like, all right, I'll take them out before I go to the comedy club. And it was raining. I specifically remember this. And so I get the leashes, and I'm walking to the door, and their names were Dallas and Champ. And Dallas was the girl. And I just go to the door, and fucking Dallas just starts pissing right on the door. And I went, hey, like that. And I flicked it with my middle finger on its rib cage. It's a small dog. But I went, stop, like that, and flicked it. And the dog went, huh? And then just was like, huh? It was like breathing in a way.
Broke its rib.
I was like, I thought I popped its lung. Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck, I popped its lung. And then just the rest of the night, I was worried that my phone was going to vibrate with a text. It's like, what did you do to Dallas's lung?
Well, I don't know.
I was fine when I brought her back in.
Hey, idiot.
I was so fucking paranoid about that. So all I'm telling you guys is don't fuck the dogs.
Christine, let's take a break so you can change this dog's diaper, because I'll tell you what, it's in a world of piss right now.
Yeah, it is. Hey.
I'll tell you what, it's getting that little, what do they call it? The bridge? The bikini bridge?
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Oh, look at me. I'm getting a little peekaboo. Because you got those fucking, yeah, you got those hip bones.
Look at you, you're sexy. Look at you.
You're a little slut.
Look at you, you little slut, you're sexy being. Slut.
We'll take a break and we'll be right back, everybody. It's the Lost Tapes, but it's the Bonfire.
Still the Bonfire.
You've been listening to SiriusXM's Bonfire.
New episodes every Tuesday through Friday mornings, and full shows always on SiriusXM.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I need the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.